At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos.
Morning, buddy.
Hi.
Just watching a little TV this morning, trying to find my voice.
I don't know who gets distracted easier, you or Joe Rexroad.
Oh, it's me. It's always me.
Well, it's entertaining. That's for sure.
I didn't know what he was pointing at. I was like, what are you pointing at?
Did you see what I pointed at?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Okay, Chase, how are you, man?
I'm doing all right. The pipes sound like they need some honey.
Thanks to you. Appreciate it.
Me and everybody else.
We are we're good, though, man. It sounds good. Like a young Wolfman Jack. Feels good.
No, I like it. Got a great show planned. John McClain going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Always enjoy our conversations with him. Brady Shea will call in here in just a few minutes. Predators fall again last night, 4-3 against Calgary at Bridgestone Arena. They'll have a two-game road trip in Dallas and Colorado, and then four games at home starting next week. But, yes, there are points in there, but that's eight in a row. So things not going well for the gold team right
now. Don't care about team right now. How was your experience last night?
It was good.
At the game?
Yeah.
Good times?
It was good. It was fun. I got some pretty good seats. I was two rows from the glass, so that was kind of nice. With Sean Ford, our GM, and hung out in the Lexus Lounge. And I will say this. Whenever you can go and talk to Terry Crisp, you just feel better about life. You feel better about yourself. You feel better about, you know, everything. And so I got to spend a little time with Crispy, and that was nice.
That's good. Glad you had a good time last night.
Yeah, it was good. So what'd you do?
What did I do? Oh, I had to go to a Tennessee Promise Scholarship conference last night for 2 hours. Oh. It sounds worse than it is.
Oh, okay.
So if you have kids that are seniors that are going to college, it's a mandatory event to go to these things.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So good times. I'm glad you had fun last night.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did some parenting things last night.
That was for first time in years. I got to get something done. My son was like, who is this man? I'm like, who are you? Weren't you just 12 years old? Now he's all grown up.
Yeah. Stephen Clarksville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com, 615-737-1025, says, y'all need to send Big Joe home. That man sounds rough.
No, I'm fine. I went to the gym this morning for an hour and 15 minutes. I feel fine. My voice has morphed again into Miley Cyrus, Wolfman Jack, and I hate to say it, and this was not funny, but somebody said RFK. So I was like, I am not laughing. Somebody said that last night. I was like, I am not laughing at that. You're going to hell. I'm not laughing at that. So that's why. Meanwhile, everybody else here is laughing.
another texter says, congratulations, guys, on the TV interview this morning. Well deserved. I guess our piece has run on Fox 17 this morning.
I didn't see it.
I have not gotten to see it yet. I want to see it. They were here last week, and Dennis Ferrier from Fox 17 was here last week.
Good
man. And so looking forward to it, but talking about mental health and, you know, the message that we send every day. So
it is. That's right.
Really cool that they were able to spotlight that.
I very rarely watch or listen to anything I've done.
Yeah, really? I want to see this, obviously, but I'm kind of the same way just because I don't know. It's like we're our own worst critic.
I think in all my years in TV, I maybe watched myself 10 times.
Right.
I just don't want to do it.
Well, let's get to our next guest. Brady Shea, Predators defenseman, joins us on the program. Brady, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Yeah, I know that's kind of it's a loaded question. I mean, I feel for you guys because I was there last night watching, and I certainly, you know, am never going to question the effort. I see the effort. I see you guys working, and I just feel like this is going to break at any point. And people that I've talked to, the good thing that I hear is you guys are frustrated, but you're not hanging your heads down, and it seems like you're sticking together. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you nailed it on the head. I mean, there's never a question of our work ethic. You can see that night in and night out. It's a crazy rough patch we're in right now. I've never gone through it in my career, and you know, we show up to every game. We work hard and we play, and we're in every game. It's just we got to find a way to get on the winning side of it. I mean, I think it's 8 games in a row now, so it's tough, but you know, guys are staying positive as we can, and we know we're going to get through this, and we're going to get to the other side, and we're going to break through. But it's been a tough time for sure.
And last night, unfortunately, your captain, Roman Josi, leaves the game with an injury. You're kind of dealing with some injuries as well on top of this. So, you know, how do you kind of work through that? Because you know how this goes, 82 games, you're going to have guys leave the lineup due to injury.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you go through every year with every team. And, you know, I think our guys that have came in and filled those roles and have played, and our young guys, I'm thinking especially on our defense, I think our young guys that have came in and played extremely well and have done a good job. When that happens, other guys need to step up. And I think our guys have done a good job of coming in and playing and helping the team. Obviously, like I said, we want to get some wins. But I think especially those young defensemen have done a good job so far.
We're talking to Preds player Brady Shea on the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, so Brady, you hit the road. You know, when you're at home, you get all the distractions. We hear the guys talk about that. But now that you go on the road, it's kind of you guys versus the world. Is that good in a time like right now, what you guys are going through?
I think we'd take a win in either way we could. I think it is good to be on the road. You kind of, you know, you get to go to dinner with the guys and kind of hang out with the guys, and then you go into, you know, hostile environments that are at places that are hard to play, and you really got to come together to find a way to get 2 points in a road environment. So it is, either way we can get a win, we'll take, but you know, winning games on the road definitely can help bring your team together for sure.
When you see your phone light up with a text message or a call from an ex-teammate or some guy you played with, do you pretty much know why they're calling you right now? I mean, is they like, hey, man, what's going on there? Is that kind of message are you getting now from your friends and kind of ex-teammates?
Yeah, you know, I haven't got a ton. I mean, I've definitely gotten some, you know, guys just saying, you know, like you said, what's going on or keep your head up. I mean, you guys are too good not to get through this. So it's all been positive. Definitely have not gotten a ton, like not daily, but I've gotten a few from close friends, and everyone's staying positive, so it's good.
You know, I'm a positive guy. Chase is a positive guy, and the whole time I'm talking to you and I'm looking at the hockey team, I'm thinking about when you guys do turn this around, what the comeback story will be. I mean, it's you got to think positive, right, Brady?
100%. That's right. We're all doing it in the locker room. I'm definitely doing it. So you got to stay positive. It's the only way to go forward with this.
Predators defenseman Brady Shea is with us on the Chasing Big Joe Show. I am wondering, you know, you've obviously changed teams before, but a lot was made about, you know, your acquisition and you know, Marchessault and Stamkos coming in. Did you guys maybe think that, you know, it was going to click quicker than it has, and maybe it's taken a little bit more time than maybe you estimated that it would?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think we didn't think we'd be in the position we are right now. I think everyone on the team would agree with that. We thought we were going to have a much better start. Obviously, it hasn't worked so far. It hasn't clicked exactly the way we'd like. So, but like I said before, I mean, no one on that team, no one in the locker room is giving up that or anything like that. Like, the effort every single night is there. We just need to find a way to win, and hopefully this road trip can snap that around and we can get on a nice little winning streak.
All right, Brady, I've gotten two messages to ask you about your favorite barbecue place in town. Are you a food connoisseur here, Brady?
You know, I have my wife is a big food connoisseur. She's the one that picks usually the good restaurants. So we have been to a lot of good places. I think for barbecue, the only barbecue I've had here, I think, is Edley's on 12 South. So and that was very good. So I'm going to need to try some more out, but I was not disappointed with Edley's. I thought that place was awesome.
I tell you, a quick way to a woman's heart is good Mexican food, and that begins and ends at Taco Bell. So never forget that.
That's perfect.
All right, good.
That's good.
Brady, I want to ask you before we let you go, one of the team's favorite people, one of my favorite people that I know is, you know, now is a player here and a visiting player before. You were very familiar with Craig Partner Baugh, just celebrated his 60th birthday. And I know the Preds had a big party for him, but Partner is a treasure. And I know you guys had to be excited to be able to celebrate him.
He sure is. Yeah, he is. Talk with a guy that makes you smile when you come in the rink every day. When you see him, he's just an amazing person. Always, obviously, love talking with him, and all the guys on the team love talking with him. It was great to celebrate him and his brother. And you know, there's a nice video for him for a bunch of guys calling in. So, Partner's an amazing person. We're so lucky to have him, and he's just the best.
Yeah, very, very cool. Brady, good luck with the road trip. I know this thing's going to turn around sooner rather than later. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yes, it will. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Brady Shea, Predators defenseman, joining us here on the program. And, you've known Partner. I mean, Partner around. I mean, those big bear hugs and hey buddies. And he and his twin brother, Paul, celebrating their 60th birthday. So, love you, Partner. Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about last night and other things. John McClain at the bottom of the hour. It's Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Here on this Wednesday. I never know where our musical themes are going to go. I like that. Dr. Crane keeps me guessing.
Well, we figured it since it feels like minus 70 outside, a little yacht rock will make us warm at heart, a little spirit there.
I kind of liked it. I kind of liked walking out to a little cold this morning.
Bonus points if you know who sings this song, Chase.
I have no idea.
That's the old Robbie Dupree.
Okay.
And it's a Preds theme right now. Why don't you steal away, steal a couple points?
They need to do something.
Right.
They need to do something. Jeff says on our text line, the Preds looked much better last night. It's only fitting that Saros didn't get the bounces. A full 60 from all facets is required. I agree, and I mean, I will say this is not a brag on my seats, but where I was sitting last night, obviously you can see a lot. Like, it's very fast and stuff, and I was sitting right behind Saros. I do feel like they played better. I still think they're looking for the perfect shot. And therefore, they're passing the puck a lot. And you know, I mean, I like seeing them cycle the puck around. But at some point, you just got to shoot it and get traffic in front of the net.
Of course you do.
And so I still think that's an emphasis from Andrew Brunette, you know, on getting the traffic in front of the net. I would not expect any type of change anytime soon based on what Barry Trotz said yesterday when he was on with Jared. It feels like he is committed to Andrew Brunette, and Andrew Brunette's obviously committed to them, and they're going to see this through and see what they can do. And I mean, because look, like we have said, and I know you all are tired of hearing it, but hockey's a sport of streaks, and they're on a bad streak right now. But you know, They go and they get it. They steal a win in Dallas. Who knows what that does for a team? But I think Hal said it best yesterday that they're kind of looking for that guy to go, you guys with me? Follow me. We got this. Let's go. It's like that guy that's going to lead you into battle.
He would have already led him in the battle. It ain't going to happen now.
You may be right. You may be right. I don't know.
I mean, they're 7-22. I mean, they're 7-22. If they don't turn this around, then by the end of December, there's going to be a yard sale sign outside Bridgestone. And you just kind of say, all right, take care. Take care. Here you go. Take care. Here you go. You can't keep this up the whole year. You can't. Because at some point, the boo is going to start happening at Bridgestone. If yeah. not already.
I was impressed with the crowd last night. I thought the crowd was behind the guys. You know, I didn't hear boos, and I kind of expected that. But, I mean, as the texter said and as I said, you know, I thought that it was a – they did play a better game. They didn't win. I mean, that's the result that you want, obviously. But
maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem. Played hard, didn't win. Good job.
Well, what do you want me to say, Joe?
How about jump their ass?
Be like, do hey, better. Bunch of losers.
You better.
I mean.
I'm not seeing you. But I'm seeing people like, well, they right. played better last. You still lost. You still lost the game. All right? So let's figure out somehow to win a game. I don't know how, but figure out how to win a game. Because whatever happening now is not getting it done. And you've lost 8 straight. So it's got, you know, these accolades. It's like coaching my kid's soccer team. Great job, Nikki. You did well today. We got beat 9-1, but my gosh, you didn't quit. I mean, it's frustrating as a fan. It's frustrating because you don't go. When's the last time we've ever been through this with a hockey team?
Well, I mean,
never.
I mean, probably the early years there were things like this, but nothing in the recent years.
I'd say nothing in the last 20.
Yeah. This was Barry Trotz yesterday with Stillman and Company talking about Andrew Brunette.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not out of the question. I don't say will or won't, but I think you have to look at, it's my job to look at everything. The plan is, you know, no matter what, we got to salvage something of this year. It's got to be the process. And I've told the coaches, and it says just teach and preach. Teach and preach, because you have to, you've got some good young players, you got some older players that got to find their game. So you got to keep teaching, you got to keep preaching the right stuff. You're not gonna bully them. It's not old school where you're gonna bully them to play. They're gonna play because they want to play, and they gotta come together. So I know there's a lot of people piling on, you know, the team, the organization, the coach, whatever. That's the right. They have that right. But this group is there's a lot of good young men in there, and they're gonna do their best to come out of it, I'm sure. But nothing's off the table. I mean, when you're where we are, you know, be the coach, be the players, be whatever, everything's on the table. I have ownership to respond to, I have fans to respond to, I have organizational. But one thing that I'm not going to do is I'm not going to get away from the plan of this is we've got to get younger, we've got to get faster.
That was Barry Trotz yesterday. On with Jared, and you know, he obviously is leaving the door open that if he does change his mind and does need to make a change, he can obviously do that.
Can
and,
I say
and
something?
I think that's smart, but
from
yeah.
a fan standpoint,
sure.
Again, we have experts here, you, Willie, Adam, Robbie, on and on and on. I'm a fan, and this might sound weird, but the stones of that GM to come on an afternoon talk show, and if I'm told correctly, there's no pre-scripted questions, right?
No.
To come on and talk about, you know, I know we compare other teams, other team across town doesn't do that, but to come on every week and give the fans the insight of what's going on with no BS is, I think, powerful.
Yeah.
Look, I think it's damn powerful.
The GM does a weekly appearance. The coach does a regular appearance. It alternates with assistant coaches. The CEO does a regular appearance with us. And alternates with other members of the front office,
right.
including the president. I mean, they're not living under a rock. And look, I'm sure they get tired of me saying that, but like it is appreciated, and not just because we're the flagship, you know, not just because of our relationship with them, but you know, from a fan's point of view, the fact that the organization doesn't hide, I mean, it could be very easy
yeah.
for them to say,
right.
hey, Barry can't do this week.
And you know why.
Right. Yeah. You know, like, it could, I mean, Brady Shea calling in this morning. Like, I mean, and Brady, obviously, we can tell, he has a personality and is a very nice guy. You think he wanted to, I mean, that's the last thing he wanted to do.
Right.
And
but,
I get it.
But I think Barry looks at the opportunity to explain.
Right.
Where it's not being explained. And no offense, I don't even know who covers the hockey team for the papers anymore. I have no idea.
Or, well, Alex Doherty does a great job.
Okay, is that who it is? Okay, good. If you say so, I believe you 100%. But sometimes your message gets lost in translation, you know, and you don't have the tone. You can't hear the body language. So when Trotz goes on and answers these questions, I like listening to it.
And I want to say this too, because, you know, there's a little rah-rah going right here. And I'm praising them because it is much appreciated. And I think you all as the fans, you want to hear from the decision makers within the organization. All that said, they're the first to tell you things got to change. Yeah. Like, this is not acceptable. I mean, Barry said it in the interview yesterday that, you know, they have not lived up to their expectations, and that's unacceptable. And it's on them, and they own it, and they got to fix it. I don't have a, you know, we can all sit here and play armchair coach and armchair GM and be like, well, they're not doing this or they're not doing that. And, you know, this guy's got to play better. And that's fine. But at the end of the day, I don't think anybody, when they made these moves this summer, thought it was going to be this bad. I mean, this was a team that was better than people thought they were going to be last year. They made the playoffs. They got beat in the first round. But that, to me, was a victory after all the changes that they had made. And then it's like, okay, let's build on that. Let's go get one of the best players in hockey in Steven Stamkos and sign him. Nobody thought he'd become available. He did. Now he's here. Let's go add another 40-goal scorer in Jonathan Marchessault. Let's go add a top-tier defenseman in Brady Shea. And I think you heard it in the interview with Brady of, I think we all thought this was going to click a lot quicker than it did, and nobody thought we'd be in the position they are. Well, now they are, and now they got to dig themselves out of it. And, you know, I agree with you. Playing better, okay, great. Turn it into wins. But – I mean, I don't. That's the thing. I don't know what else to say.
How about we stop doling out compliments until you win?
Fine.
Just win the game. This isn't YMCA soccer. It's not doing that. You're paid millions of dollars to win and do that.
That is a fair point.
Weighing in on the text line about Trotz coming on. And again, I think Trotz likes doing it because he can explain things in his time. He's got an hour to do it. And like you said, there's no pre-scripted questions. Just go on. And I know Jared, he's not going to hold back. I've listened to those interviews. They're great. They're not going to hold back on anything. And this is a team going through, and somebody's like, it's not a bad streak. It's a bad season.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree.
And it is. But here's the deal. You have 82 games. And what's one thing I preach about all the time? Don't quit.
Yeah.
Don't quit now. You quit now, then you're guaranteed seven wins this whole year. Just keep going out and win and fighting, fighting, fighting. And then who knows what could turn around.
Real quick, Michael wants to weigh in on the Preds. Michael, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Honestly, this wasn't about the Preds. I just wanted to call in real quick because I saw y'all's little segment on Fox 17 last night right before I went to bed. And I just wanted to say how awesome that was seeing that, because I know how important it is, the mental health and all that, men's mental health for y'all. And I just wanted to call in and say, I mean, y'all have helped me out before a few months ago, so I really just wanted to say thank you for all that and just continuing the work that y'all do with all that, because it was awesome to see, and it was just really cool to see both y'all on the news last night.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Michael. Thank you so much. We need to go watch it. I want to go check it out for sure. But
right.
I've had a few people reach out.
Aired last night and this morning again as well, so... really, we don't do it for slaps on the back. We do it to save lives. And so if we could affect positively one life, then we've done our job. So thank you.
For sure. Coming up next, we'll talk to the great John McClain, get the latest around the NFL with him here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Well, Commodore is bringing us back. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, as we always do at this time on Wednesdays. We say hello to John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you as well. We'll see who what NFL teams get some good gifts. But I want to start with that Titans and Jags punishment that everybody got last week. 10-6 the final. The Titans unable to score a touchdown and had the ball in the red zone on two different occasions. I feel like we spent the last few weeks talking about Will Levis and, you know, his progression. He didn't have his best game. Maybe it's not all on him, but what's kind of your view of what you saw last Sunday?
Well, I saw the Jaguars the week before, and then I saw the Titans before that. And it is amazing to me that the Titans could come in here and beat up the Texans the way they did, scoring on the first three possessions, including two touchdowns, and then stink it up so bad offensively against the Jaguars, who are terrible. And what a wasted 100-yard performance by Tony Pollard. I guess the best thing you could say is Levis was only sacked twice and didn't have an interception, but man, oh man, it just, you know, the defense has got to be frustrated because the defense has way outplayed the offense. And I can't imagine that Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan are going to not pursue another quarterback next offseason. And the reason is, you know, Callahan was not there for the drafting of Levis. You don't know if that was driven by Carthon, if it was driven by Vrabel to take him in the second round. But when you look around the league and all the quarterbacks taken the last 2 years, including Bryce Young, who showed remarkable improvement lately in some close games that the Panthers haven't been able to win, but there's nobody that wouldn't say his career is on an upward trajectory where it's like Levis is a roller coaster that spends too much time on the downswing. So the guy who's in the best position after this season should be Sam Darnold, coming off his 5-touchdown performance Sunday. There's no way, well, I can say that Minnesota could sign him to a long-term contract for $40 or $50 million a year, and then they would have to trade J.J. McCarthy at some point to a team that had him rated as a first-round pick, and it would be very strange if they let Darnold go, if they keep this up and went to the unproven, untried McCarthy with the possibility of taking a huge step back. Don't know what their plans are for Daniel Jones next year, if he's just a one-half-year stopgap backup, or they want to try to sign him to play behind McCarthy. But they got a tough decision coming in Minnesota. And maybe Sam Darnold doesn't want to stay there. He wants to go somewhere else. They could franchise him, which would cost a lot of money. But I'm guessing he's going to be on the market. And you're talking about timing. His timing would be incredible because there's a shortage of quarterback prospects coming out. Sure, Sanders is going to be the top one. I'm guessing that Cam Ward will be number two. But as I pointed out on a talk show yesterday, 2 years ago at this time, nobody was talking about Anthony Richardson. You guys would have known about him because he was in the SEC. I'd never heard of him because at this time of 2 years ago, I don't know if they played in the bowl game, but he had, 12 starts at this point, or 11. And it wasn't until the combine, when he showed his size, speed, and arm, that all of a sudden everybody fell in love with him. So that doesn't mean somebody is not going to look great in shorts and T-shirts and have teams fall in love with him. And maybe whatever will be Brian Callahan and the Titans. But I think you can't run the risk of another roller coaster season like this with Levis, because if you tell Amy Adams Strunk we're going to ride with Will again, Will better be the quarterback you thought he'd be when he was drafted high in the second round. Gone.
Yeah, exactly. On Sam Darnold, though, do you, and I mean, you just mentioned it, that there's a, you know, there's not going to be a lot of quarterbacks available in this draft, you know, from a free agent standpoint. There's not going to be a lot available unless there's some surprise out there. Do you think that the league will then recognize, you know, those teams like the Titans that could be desperate for a quarterback and go, well, we're going to have to overpay him. That's just what we're going to have to do. Or do you think that maybe his market won't be as big as we might think it is because they look at him and go, hey, he's been good with Minnesota, but was that just a flash in the pan?
Well, he's got a great receiver, the best in the NFL, in Justin Jefferson. He does not have a great running game. Their running game is not very good at all. And he's got Kevin O'Connell has emerged as a terrific coach. The guy who's calling Kevin O'Connell calls the plays. His offensive coordinator, who works with him the closest, is Wes Phillips, the grandson of Bum Phillips and the son of Wade Phillips, who everybody thinks will be a third generation head coach at some point in the next couple of years. But I think because of the shortage and the desperation, my God, you'd love to be Sam Darnold's agent. But if you put him in a system that is not a system conducive to him, you might run the risk of him taking a step back. I believe the Vikings are his fourth team. I remember seeing him against the Texans as a rookie in the rain, and Deshaun Watson played really well. Darnold played well. Watson and the Texans won, but afterward, the New York media was going on and on about the Jets finally found their quarterback. This kid is outstanding, going to be outstanding. And then it didn't work out. And usually it's because when a talented quarterback who's rated highly by everybody doesn't work out, it's usually because of the organization. And in a case, if a quarterback does work out, like Bo Nix, where most scouts, if you go back and read all the scouting reports on Bo Nix, very few thought he was a first-round pick. Most thought he should go in the second round. So his success is a byproduct of going to the right coach and the right organization. So those poor old, I'm going to say poor old quarterbacks because they make so much money, but everybody wants to blame them when most of the time they should blame the team. So I'm thinking Sam Darnold's going to cash in big time because all they're going to need is one team out there to pay him $50 million a year.
That's a good point, John. John McClain's on with the Chasing Big Joe show. John, you know Bud Adams probably better than anybody else that covered that team forever. I got a hypothetical for you. Would Bud Adams had traded A.J. Brown in that moment, had your GM come to you and said, hey, this guy wants this much money, what are we going to do? What would Bud Adams have done?
Great question.
Well, Bud would have left it up to his general manager and his head coach. Bud didn't tell him what to do. Bud signed off on things. But Bud wouldn't have said, okay, I think you need to trade A.J. Brown. Or if they said, we want to trade A.J. Brown, he would have stayed out of it. And if Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher were the general manager and a coach and they'd wanted to keep Brown, they would have kept Brown. And if Floyd, who had final say on personnel decisions, Jeff had final say on game day decisions, wanted to trade him, he would have been traded. Bud would have said, okay. But I can't imagine that regime would have traded A.J. Brown for any reason.
Well, yeah, the money-wise, because A.J. wanted more money at the time than any other receiver in the league. Would that have swayed Bud at all, or he would have still given the decision back to his people then in charge of getting the football done?
The only time Bud made a decision on a player that I can remember was Vince Young. And the only reason Bud wanted Vince so bad is because he knew everybody in Houston wanted the Texans to draft Vince. And he knew how popular he was. And, of course, he won a national championship. So he told them, you draft him or I'll get somebody who will. And he said, and I called him up and did a story with him where he said, VY is my guy. So I knew no matter how much they wanted Matt Leinart or Jay Cutler, Vince Young was going to Nashville. And that was the only time I can remember. It had nothing to do with football.
Well, John McClain is our guy, and we will continue our conversation with John coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work.
All right, John, I have to ask you about Bill Belichick, if the rumors are true that he's going to be the next head coach at North Carolina. And the simple question is, why?
I'll still be shocked if he goes to North Carolina. The Athletic reported yesterday they've made him an offer. A guy from England reported he accepted the deal, and he was waiting for them to accept his acceptance, which made no sense. If you accept somebody's offer, you're accepting it. So I'm sure they've made him an offer. I watched Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, and Rob Gronkowski on the Fox pregame show kind of laugh about it and make fun of it and said they do not see him coaching in college. And I know a lot of people, I've seen stories about it, saying college is now a free agency like the NFL. No, it's not. College, you can be free agent every year. Players go in and say, pay me or I'm out of here. I looked at the portal yesterday to see what positions I know Baylor needs and who's out there so far. And you pay them or they're gone. It's amazing to me how many quarterbacks from good teams are leaving because they can get more money. So Belichick, he can talk to his good friend Nick Saban. Why did Saban leave Alabama? Because he got tired of players wanting to know how much they're going to get paid and having to deal with the portal. So I'm sure he would not give it a strong recommendation. But on the other hand, guys, remember last year, the only team to talk to him was Atlanta, and he met with Arthur Blank twice, the only prospect to meet with him twice. Raheem Morris didn't, but then there was a pushback within the organization. I'm guessing Rich McKay, the president, and Fontenot, the GM, didn't want Belichick in there telling them what to do. So I think he wants to break Don Shula's record. If he does go to North Carolina, good luck for him. It certainly created a lot of interest in North Carolina, the ACC, and college football. And the way college football is going, they're going to change the format of the playoff next year. I just read there's a good chance it could happen because of the ridiculousness of the seeding process and the way it's done with automatic qualifiers and everything, plus SEC, of course, all the Alabama fans whining about the injustice of it all. They're going to change it, and what would Belichick get in there? Also, wasn't North Carolina one of the teams trying to leave the ACC? So unless his agent has called every team that may have an opening and they've all told them they're not interested, I don't see it. I may be wrong, but I don't see it.
I am with you 100%. I still think in the back of my mind he takes that Raiders job. With he knows Brady, he knows Mark Davis well, and I think, and they're terrible, and that's a situation where that gives a lot of positive PR to that franchise. To me, I think that's where he ends up, but I'm usually wrong anyway.
Can you imagine Brady coming out to practice as an owner and screaming and chewing him out, saying, Belichick, I could get a coach down the street in Las Vegas High School to come out here and do a better job than you, which is what he used to always yell at Brady in practice, because Brady knew, and everybody knew, if Belichick chewed Brady out publicly all the time in front of all the players, it would make them play harder. If he treats Brady like that, my God, how's he going to treat me like it? And in that Netflix charity thing he did, several of them did imitations of him screaming at Brady about that kid down the street at that high school who could come there and do what he does. It would be a great show. And I tell you this about Mark Davis. He's got Brady in the organization. They need a quarterback. He needs to make sure Brady's going to, and this is certainly a conflict of interest, considering he's in the media, that make sure that Brady has watched tape, even if he can't go scout these prospects, and gives him his recommendation and plays a role in it, just like Brady played a role in that kid from Ann Arbor that committed, the quarterback Underwood, to LSU. Then he went back to Michigan,
right?
And Brady was in contact with him a lot, recruiting for his alma mater. So Mark Davis should make the best use of Brady, including should he keep Antonio Pierce?
That's an interesting question for sure. The Bengals coming to town this week to take on the Titans. John, I watched them on Monday Night Football where they ended up squeaking by and beating the Dallas Cowboys. Do you think that's a team built enough? I mean, playoffs are a question. They're probably out of reach at this point. But do you think with Joe Burrow, are they good enough to maybe make a run here at the end to at least keep it interesting?
Yeah, I don't think so. They've waited too long. They were fortunate to beat the Cowboys. My goodness. Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator, didn't get stupid overnight.
Yeah.
They just let too many players get away because of money. You know, the Brown family is notoriously cheap. Now, when you're paying Joe Burrow what he's making, $50 million a year, you're not cheap. But there's a lot of players they've let go. They soured on Joe Mixon for whatever reason. The Texans got him for a seventh-round pick, and he's had seven 100-yard games. He's one of the best backs in the league. Now they can't run the ball. And I'll bet you that had – well, he was in there in the last year of his contract. They didn't want to pay him after that. And then the Texans gave him a new three-year deal. So I think I would blame it on management. You can't keep working miracles. Burrow is maybe – he's having a season like Deshaun Watson in 2020. He was great. He led the league in yardage, average per attempt. He was second to Rodgers in ratings, counting rushing. He was 38 touchdowns, didn't throw many interceptions. That's the reason Cleveland thought he could duplicate that in Cleveland. And then they made that terrible trade and gave him the terrible contract. But in Burrow's credit, he has been outstanding. And he's blessed with a great receiver, too, counting T. Higgins. But I'll guarantee you, you know, I don't know what the over-under is going to be in rushing yards, but I'm taking the Titans because they're going to shut down that run and they're going to get after Burrow. But Burrow's probably the best quarterback they're going to play, so they're going to have to score. And right now, as you guys know, if you can't score on Jacksonville, their defense is not as – Cincinnati's is not good, but Jacksonville's worse. And if you can't score a touchdown against Jacksonville, how in the world are you going to do it against the Bengals?
Hey, man. John, you spend a lot of time around guys who played a long time in the NFL and then their 70s and their 80s. Have you seen this Mark Gastineau, Brett Favre encounter?
Oh, yeah, I saw it. And 30 for 30's got it, and they're milking it on ESPN and online and everything. I see the Gastineau went up to him at a card show and ripped him up because it makes Gastineau sound terrible. Gastineau's wife went over and apologized because he's bitter because he thinks that Favre took a dive so Strahan could get the record, Gastineau's record. Gastineau should just be glad that sacks didn't become an official statistic in 1982 or he wouldn't own that record. Deacon Jones would have. But I think it's very catty. And, of course, ESPN's going to milk it for everything they can.
Well, you know, it comes out, oh, he's got CTE. Watch out, watch out. I don't subscribe to that. I just see a guy who thinks he lost out on a lot of money because he's no longer the sack leader. Whatever it is, though, it's sad.
Sad. I don't think it's sad, Joe. I think it's pathetic that it's like he would – care enough about something like that. And TJ Watt has since tied it. Is he going to chew him out when he sees him? And as far as CTE, you cannot tell if somebody has CTE until they die and their brain is diagnosed. So it looks to me like Gastineau still just got a huge ego, or ESPN, they talked to him about doing this thing on the New York Sack Exchange. Who gives a damn about the New York Sack Exchange?
Right.
I mean, why are they unveiling something about the Jets? Nobody cares about Jets. Jets fans don't care about the Jets except who they're going to hire today as coach and general manager, and will Rodgers be back? They'd be better doing a 30 for 30 on a disaster for this season. If it wasn't New York, we wouldn't be having to hear about the New York Sack Exchange. So I'm guessing that's like wrestling.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Now, the reason I ask is you spend a lot of time around these retired guys who played 10, 12 years, been out of the league for 25, 30 years. They don't act like that, at least the ones I've been around.
Well, ESPN's not doing a 30 for 30 on them. I was at a lunch last Friday with Mean Joe Green, Kenny Houston, both first ballot Hall of Famers, Dan Pastrini, Oilers quarterback. We were at a barbecue place, and they were telling stories. And all of them are approaching 80, and they all still got their faculties, and they're funny, and they tell great stories, but none of them, like, go off their rocker. Now, if ESPN said, hey, we're going to pay you this much, and we need something, and maybe they didn't, and inspire him to do that, but obviously they need a push, and that's giving it to them. And I can't think of anything more boring than watching something on the New York Stock Exchange, which was fun at the time.
Right.
I would rather see a 30 for 30 on Fireman Ed, the Jets fan.
Right. I would agree with that, Chase. Give us Fireman Ed over the hill, Mark Gastineau.
John, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Guys, my pleasure. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Absolutely. John McClain joining us here on the program as he does every week. Joe, have I got a story for you?
Uh-oh.
Because I think that I have now seen enough proof to make me think that this world has truly gone soft. I will explain.
Oh,
we will do that next. Right. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.